This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
On our Feed Forum Friday, we look at several research studies that could be very helpful to the dairy farmer. Here to tell us more, Dr. Mike Hutchins, Emeritus Professor from the University of Illinois.
Today's Feed Forum will talk about what's new in research that may be useful to both dairy and beef producers here in the U.S. So let's look at four of them very quickly. In most cases, more research should be done, but be well aware, have these on your radar screen. The first one comes from Texas USDA, and they're looking at doubling the sorghum grain yield. When you increase sorghum grain yield, that means you're going to have more quality and more feed for our dairy cattle. We also can then put on top of that the BMR, brown midrib sorghum, for forage quality silages for our dairy cattle. So how are we doing this, Bill? Well, the answer is that through gene manipulation. And what they're doing is they're manipulating three genes, MSD1, MSD2, MSD3. Now, those are just how they identify the genes. Well, what does it mean to the plant? Well, it lowers a hormone. And it's a hormone I've never heard of before. It's called jasmonic acid. And so when you reduce the level of that acid, that increases the grain yield. So that's pretty exciting work. And sorghum is a very popular grain, primarily because it's drought resistant. It takes a lot less water to grow compared to corn. And we have genetic mutants that we can use to increase the forage quality as well. The second study comes from the University of Wisconsin looking at serotonin. Serotonin is produced from tryptophan. Yeah, tryptophan is an amino acid. Some of us ate some of that turkey here a few weeks ago. And so what it does, it helps maintain higher blood calcium levels at calving time. The workers out of Wisconsin fed it for 7 days before calving to 3 to 4 days after calving and maintain higher blood calcium levels. And it appears to function at the bone level, not through the parathyroid hormone, which is how normally calcium is maintained in these dairy cattle. And also the other good news is that even is more effective when it's fed with a DCAT, a dietary cation anion difference-based diet as well. So a lot more research to be done there, but kind of another breakthrough that maybe has some real value here in the future for our dairy producers. Another study comes out of the USDA and Marshfield Experiment Station at the University of Wisconsin, and that's crabgrass. Yep, crabgrass that grows in my lawn. Well, they discovered that it actually can be a fairly good quality grass for ruminant animals. And it's not a hardy type crop, so therefore it's kind of considered an annual crop in Wisconsin. Probably for places further south, you could have a more perennial character out of it. But Wisconsin planted this in June when the temperature of the soil got above 60 degrees, and they took two cuttings, and they got 1,000 to 3,500 pounds of dry matter per acre. So it's an emergency crop if you had winter kill, for example, or like this year we had a really wet spring and we couldn't get into our fields until June. That'd be another alternative as well. The last one we'll talk about is fescue. Fescue is common in the southeastern parts of the United States, and the common one is a Kentucky 31. That's a fescue. Why do we raise fescue? Well, it's very drought tolerant. It's very persistent because of the alkaloids in there. Insects don't mess with it, so therefore it has agronomic characteristics that make good news for the plant. But for the dairy cow and the beef cow, it's bad news because it lowers dry matter intake, can affect milk yield, affect reproduction, and body temperature, which is a problem, of course, in the summer. And so the good news is that there are new cultivars available that our producers should be thinking about and listening to, Max-Q and derivatives of Max-Q. There are several of these listed out there that can be looked at. Now, if you are stuck with the Kentucky 31, there are some harvest things you can do to lower its impact. Number one, cut it 3 inches above up on the stem because higher concentrations there and also in the seed head. You don't want grass to go to seed anyway, but certainly with wet conditions that can happen. So you want to avoid the lower extremities and the seed head. And then, of course, in storage, some of it gets done naturally here. And, of course, you can dilute it out with other products. So our take-home message to our listeners is that there are new research findings coming out every month, and be well aware in your farm it may be a logical fit. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday.
In a world where people are more skeptical than ever about their news, isn't it nice to know that you can still trust your local farm broadcaster? In a recent study, farm radio was rated almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
As we all know, the U.S. dairy industry produces some of the best quality milk in the world. And though it's been hesitant to lower its maximum allowable somatic cell count standards to global levels, Corey Geiger, managing editor of Hordes Dairyman magazine, talks with Lee Milkey about that and the upcoming quality award winners on our Milky Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.